The following program is meant for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the host and the callers are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WBNJ or WWN Educational Radio Corporation. Consult your mechanic before trying any advice given by the Twin Cams, Sal and Frank Santola on Riptide Rollers.
And now get ready for WBNJ's Riptide Rollers with twin brothers and automotive professionals, Sal and Frank Santola. The automotive call-in show that naturally begs the question,
what were you thinking calling these guys for help?
Sal and Frank are the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust, ready to help you and your car troubles. Riptide Rollers is on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Riptide Rollers,
our automotive radio program.
Sal and Frank Santola, Twin Cams, intake and exhaust.
Coming at you with our executive producer, William Clanton Jr. Say hello, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
There we go.
Hello, Bill.
And,
how's it going, Bill?
Things are good. I'm getting geared up for another electrifying episode of Riptide Rollers.
Electrifying. We're going to have a caller on who's going to be talking about electric cars in particular. So it'll be even more electrifying.
Yeah, it's so going shocking.
To be, right, right.
Some shocking information is going to come out of that one.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So I want to give everybody some info here, some contact information before I forget. Our phone number, best way to get a hold of us, 732-428-4482. Our email is thetwincams@comcast.net. And please like us on Facebook. And you could always reach out to us on Facebook, too, besides just
yes.
the liking. You could always ask a question or have a concern there as well, and we'll certainly get back to you.
So everything's good in the automotive world with you, Bill?
As I like to say, all four wheels are spinning.
Very good.
You know, I was impressed when I met your son a week two ago, whatever it was, and he brought his Beamer around.
Oh, yeah.
You could see it, and he's really got that thing, you know, working well. He's got a plan in place for everything
right.
else that he
yeah.
has to do. But I couldn't believe the knowledge that he possesses, that he's gained, things he's learned about, you know, working on cars in general, working on this specific car.
Yeah, if he doesn't know something, he's not afraid to go searching for it.
Yeah.
But I've always said that the things that I can do now around my home, and since I'm, you know, my late teens, working on the wash machine and the dryer and different things, my parents, it all came from that. You know?
Right.
It all came from that, learning how to work with tools and learning how things work, you know, so it'll serve him well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very proud.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
You got the, you know, the big topic people talk about lately now in the cars is the gas prices and gas mileage in their cars. And, you know, we're going to touch upon this a little bit with the caller. But you have the Terrain?
Yeah.
You get? Mm-hmm. How are you doing with that? How's that as far as mileage? And
actually, it does really well.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is, you know, an SUV,
yeah.
you know, because everybody look at an SUV and you're like, oh, that's a gas hog. But,
yeah.
you know, it's got the 9-speed transmission in there.
Nine?
You know, yeah. And yeah. I have the Terrain with the turbo. Right. My wife does not. And, you know, really, I got to say on the highway, you know, when we're doing, you know, 29, 30, 31,
right.
you know, that's really not bad for an SUV when you think
Definitely
about it.
Definitely not at all.
It runs, you know, it runs clean. It's efficient.
Right.
It's a smooth ride. And, you know, I mean, when that thing shifts, you barely feel it because there's so
yes.
many gears,
yes. right.
you know, and I've got the all-wheel drive version.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between my wife and I. I got the all-wheel drive. She got the sunroof.
Right.
So
yeah. So like when you're doing, let's say, 70 on the highway, that tach has got to be, what, 1,800 RPM?
Yeah, it's barely. Yeah, it's very efficient,
yeah.
you know, gear ratio.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, like I think of Star Trek, inertial dampeners and everything, you know, how you don't feel yourself accelerating. And like I can get up to 80 and close to 90 and not even feel it.
Yeah.
In that. Not that I've ever exceeded
the speed
limit.
No, no.
But, you know, actually, like I used to think our Dodge Caravan was good in that respect, where, you know, you'd give it some gas and you'd fly and you'd be up to 70, 80 without even realizing it. No, not until I got behind the wheel of the Terrain.
Yeah.
And
turbo.
Yeah. It just takes off. And you know, sometimes off the line, it's a little slow because of the type of transmission it is. Mm-hmm. But when it's on the highway, that thing just likes to go.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that a pleasure?
Yeah.
And it's not sucking down fuel at 15 miles per gallon, you know?
We took a trip to, my nephew got married a few weeks ago, and we had to drive down to Hagerstown, Maryland, which is a five-hour ride. Yeah, it's a nice haul. We take the PA Turnpike down to, and then to Harrisburg, and then head south from Harrisburg and goes right into Hagerstown. And I have to say, it was so awesome because we made it all the way out there, the whole ride, half a tank of gas.
Nice.
And
that's not a very big tank either in a Terrain.
So. No, it's not. So we made it all the way out there on a half a tank of gas. And if I hadn't driven around while I was out there for the few days, I probably could have made the return trip without getting gas. But we, on our way back, we decided we were going to stop off a few different places and go a different route. So I decided to top up the tank before I left Hagerstown.
Imagine that, right.
But the thing is, I could have round-tripped it on one tank of gas all the way to Hagerstown and back. That's not bad.
I'm selling my Cadillac tomorrow. Oh, my goodness.
That's, I might have been able to get out of the New Jersey with my 55. Hit the Jersey border, look for a gas station.
9 miles of the gallon?
Maybe.
That's great.
So we got Bruce waiting on the line, right?
Yeah, I think we're... Hello, Bruce.
Hello,
hey,
Bruce.
How you doing?
What's going on? It's been a while.
You're, a little bit.
You're one of our repeat
techs.
Riptide Rollers. You're one of our...
Riptide Roller techs.
Riptiders. Yes. And we understand, you know, we from time to time, we've been talking to people about the electric cars and everything. You know, this has become, you know, a good topic people are very interested in.
Yeah, like, and how they can't get a car for 3 years.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem.
Get on a list.
But you're... You know, and a lot of people talk about the Tesla. It's, you know, that's all you hear about the Tesla. But you've got some information for us on the Hyundai that you've been doing some research on.
And, I have.
Yes.
And the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a smaller crossover, but it's got a very good warranty package, 10 years on the battery.
Nice.
Okay. And if a week before that 10 years is up, something happens to the battery, it's warranted to 100%.
Excellent. That's nice. Excellent.
Nice.
They also have specific drive modes. So when you're pushed, let's say you want to go into sport mode, you push that button, it gets a little peppier. Plus, the dashboard changes.
Huh. Yeah.
Colors. And it changes
gauges too sometimes, right?
Gauges and all. It's a digital dash.
Right.
So it gives you a different look in each driving range.
In sport mode, right.
Now you said this is the
sport mode or the any other modes.
Right. And this is the Ioniq 5, did you call it?
Yes, it's the Ioniq 5. You'll wait right now probably 4 to 6 weeks to be able to buy one. They do have a website where you can find one and in your price range, and they'll get it to you.
Yeah. Now tell me a little bit, because I'm not familiar with them at all. Is this a hybrid vehicle or is this a full electric? How is it?
It's a full plug-in electric vehicle. They advertise 18 minutes from almost dead empty to full battery capacity.
Full. Wow. Not like 80% or something?
Wow.
No, full. Wow. But they recommend you do not charge above 80%. The only problems that I'm having with the whole electric craze now is, like, Governor Murphy's pushing them pretty hard, but there's no charging stations at any of the rest stops on the parkway that I could find.
Right, okay. And these charging stations, that's an interesting question there in my head, is like Tesla's charging station is going to be different from somebody else's, or is it going to be a universal plug hookup like the OBD2 hookups on the computers on everybody's cars? So any car
they look
can,
to be, you know, they look to be universal, okay, from what I can see.
That would make sense, you know.
Now, there are places, yeah, well, there are places that offer free charging.
Mm-hmm.
Woodbridge Mall has a charging station.
Okay.
Drive in, plug in, no charge.
But well, if there's no charge, then what good
between.
Is that? No charge.
You said the charge.
Yeah, I get it.
Bill, you just
Well,
kidding.
No charge is the whole thing because you don't want to pay for gas.
Yeah, I'm paying attention. Okay.
Yeah. But these are really nice vehicles. They're comfortable. They ride exceptionally well. And along with the Hyundai, there's Kia EV6, which is a really nice-looking crossover. Comes in a lot of different colors. Comes in three trim packages. And it's basically just like the Kia as far as the warranties go.
You mean the Hyundai, yeah. As far as the
as far as the warranties go, and I find them both to be between 44,000 up to like 58,000 for the top package.
And the Kia, I was going to ask.
The Kia is also full electric.
Kia is full electric.
Right. So Kia isn't that Kia the parent company to Hyundai?
Well, I suppose.
No, they're sister companies.
Yeah. Sister companies, okay.
Kind of like Ford and Mercury used to be.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now, you also looked at another Hyundai that was, a hybrid, right?
I've looked at the Kona.
Uh-huh.
Kona seems to be a little small for me. I'm not sure I really trust the hybrid all that much because there's more moving parts.
Yeah.
You got a gasoline engine. You've got the transmission for that one. You've got the electric. You've got, essentially two power modes in one vehicle.
Right.
And a lot of people say they're great. I've never heard any bad things about them. I just wonder and worry, they're still new, just like the electric.
Right, right.
And I kind of feel that the government's shoving this electric vehicle down our throat without full testing. A lot of people don't realize the reason they want to get away from fossil fuel is pollution.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the electric that you're going to charge your vehicle with is being made by fossil fuel.
The plants, the electric producing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The electric generation stations that are using coal,
yep,
oil, and gas. So where are you really saving?
Yeah.
The other thing is, I don't know how recyclable the batteries are.
At the moment, I don't think they are.
Right, I don't know if they have a solid plan.
And if I went out to buy a brand new Santa Fe today, I could get one with a nice package for about $34,000.
Considerably less than the maybe $55,000, $58,000, whatever you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing that everybody needs to think about is gasoline is taxed, so you can pay for the roads and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, electric's not being taxed, so where are they going to get that income from?
Very good. Very good point.
Sooner or later, they're going to hit you with something that's going to equal the tax that you would have paid for gasoline.
Yeah.
And you're already paying thousands more for that vehicle. So where is it really economic?
Yeah.
That's the decision I'm trying to come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I save in the long run, or am I just going to be paying?
Yeah, wait till, you got to pay some sort of electric tax, to charge your vehicle. Even at home, they'll figure out a way to tax you. Yeah.
Wow. That or when you when you register the vehicle, if it's an electric vehicle, they're going to hit you with an extra $300 or $400 registration fee because you're not paying the gas tax. I mean, I don't know this to be fact, but somebody's got to pay. Nothing is free.
Yeah, makes sense. Does make sense.
I understand, too, even the, I mean, whatever, I don't want to get off total point here, but I understand it. Even the construction of the batteries is like not conducive to the environment. So there's a lot of, I thought, carbon output from, you know, manufacturing the batteries, and that it wasn't really helping the environment, you know, to have the electric cars. But I don't know enough about the subject to, you know, say if that's absolutely true or not. But I do know, in defense of gasoline burning cars, that you could practically breathe the exhaust that's coming out of the tailpipe these days. So, I mean, the cars aren't really polluting the atmosphere as much as they used to.
This is why they give that disclaimer in the beginning of our show, Bill.
you wonder when you really look at all the facts, are we really saving the atmosphere with electric cars, at least right now? You know, maybe 10 years from now, but you know, right now, what the information that I hear all the time is that it's not exactly as resourceful as it may seem on the surface.
Well, and as both of you know, if you tune up your vehicle, change the air filter, clean the fuel injectors, and sometimes even do oxygen sensors, you can gain back mileage that was lost over time that people don't even remember seeing. You know,
right?
I know my car was getting 25 miles to a gallon on the highway, and now it's slipped to about 18. So I put an air filter in. I'm going to do the plugs and a really good tune-up, and that will gain some of that lost gas mileage back.
Yep, right. Yes.
Absolutely. And, so, you're not polluting the air as much either.
You're right. So you really have to, before making these decisions, get all your facts. Do I take my car to the local mechanic and get a really good tune-up and a car will last for a few more years and not pollute the environment and get you more miles per gallon? Or do you go out and buy a hybrid? Everybody says the hybrids are great. I don't know. I've never owned one. Or do you get an electric? And yeah, how much does that cost? I know I went to the dealer and I asked them how much this battery would cost if I charged it at my house, and they couldn't give me an answer.
Yeah.
Well, I would think if you're trying to sell me a vehicle and tell me it's so much better for the environment and it's going to get me just as far, you'd have that knowledge.
Yeah, true. No, another concern that I have is when these vehicles, particularly the full electric ones, even under warranty, if you have a legitimate problem, a serious problem, I can guarantee you when you go back to the dealer, they are not going to have a tech on hand there that's going to be able to address that. They're going to have somebody come in. So who knows how long you're going to be, you know, dealing with not having your vehicle. And then the other thing is, once they're out of warranty, you know, it's going to be very difficult for you to go to any of the mechanic shops that you're accustomed to right now. It's definitely going to be back to the dealer
for
quite some time.
Growing pains all around with the industry.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we're 100% ready.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was looking at when I was going through all this studies with the vehicles is, in the winter, you get less productivity out of that battery. So if during the summer you're going to work and it takes you 150 miles round trip and your vehicle's good for 180 or 200, you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But in the winter, when you're getting 10 to 15% less output, you may not make it.
You know what? What if your battery is getting down there, but you figure you could make it home, and let's say it is the winter, and now all of a sudden you're in a two-hour traffic jam. Well, you can't keep that vehicle going because your battery's going to give out. So now you're freezing your butt off in the car, and it's 20 degrees out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It, well, on some of them, they do have a secondary 12-volt battery for just doing some electronic work. I don't know if that would work the heater or not.
Yeah, I think it would take quite a bit to work the heater.
This is all new technology. Yeah, yeah. It's been thrust upon us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if anybody's ever answered all the questions thoroughly.
No, I suppose they haven't. But you know what? You've enlightened our listeners, and you've certainly enlightened us.
Keep revisiting this.
And there are certain topics that you hit upon, like the tax and different things that never actually heard anybody address before. So,
yeah, that's interesting questions there, too. Yeah.
Well, it was. We're glad to have you on.
Excellent.
We're glad you joined us.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
And it was very informative.
Talk to you later.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
So that was... no question. You know, we've talked to others about the Teslas and electric cars and different things, and he brought up a couple of good points.
Well, Bruce is always good for asking questions, you know, and it's like, well, what about the fact that, you know...
And it's true, the gasoline...
States
paying,
are not collecting the fuel tax, you know.
If you're paying $5 a gallon now for regular gas, you know, I'm just going to speak ignorantly here, but 50 cents of that's tax or something? I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a tax per gallon.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the price, I guess, of the gallon of gas.
No, I know, but
I'm fixed tax.
I'm saying, but it's
per gallon.
It's got to be something like that. It may be even more that you're paying.
Yeah, you could Google it.
Yeah, on the tax.
You know, I'm thinking about Dave's car that he wanted to get rid of. He got smashed in the back. He had the hybrid Corolla, is it?
He had the Camry. Yeah.
Camry.
Yeah.
And, you know, in defense of the hybrids, once again, we've talked about this, but he had, what, like 250,000 miles on it? And
Over two, anyway.
Yeah.
210 or 215 or something like that, yeah.
And trouble.
No
trouble.
And we have another customer with a Prius. And he's been real happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, the hybrids have certainly proven to be good.
And then the batteries are lasting longer than they originally predicted
they would. Yeah, they used to scare your buddy.
Right, yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to go for a few $1,000 for a battery by the time you hit 100,000 miles and all this other stuff, you know.
And then he's only getting rid of that because he got, you know, smashed in the back end, and it looks like it's going to be totaled. But, you know, people don't even want to let these things go. They've been so reliable.
Yeah.
So, in any case,
we'll take a little break.
Yeah.
And we'll come back with an emailer.
All right.
The Twin Cams have more questions to answer and advice for you coming up on the Riptide Rollers, 91.9 WBNJ.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-729-1241. 800-729-1241. 800-729-1241. That's 800-729-1241.
Welcome back to Riptide Rollers, on air at 91.9 WBNJ and online at WBNJ.org. Here's the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust.
So we got an emailer there, Sal.
Yes, we do.
Did you pull it out of the email basket?
We're rotating it right now. What do you used to have that, on Wonderama or something?
Yes. Yeah, Wonderama.
Right.
Big basket going around. They pull a card out, some lucky winner or some such thing. I have to find it.
I was just singing that song the other day because my wife and I were talking about Wonderama for some reason, and she was saying, used to watch it as a kid, but I didn't remember the songs anymore. And I was like, oh, have you heard any good news today? Today, I want to hear what you have. And I went through the whole thing. One, two, three. You know, I got a puppy. Whatever. And she's like, you're nuts. How do you remember that? I was like, I don't know. I just do.
Kind of watched it all the time.
Yeah.
So we do have an email, Ken from Forked River. And if we weren't just talking about this topic, he needs a mechanic to replace his spark plugs in a 2004 F-150.
Dum, 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 dum.
Yeah. And he's saying, why is this such a big problem?
It's a tough one. Might as well take the fenders off.
Well, it's actually worse than that. Because the problem is that on some of the 5.4 engines
from, I just researched this.
Yeah.
I just researched this because Eddie was talking about, that's my son, he's talking about getting a beater truck to tow a boat that he's got now.
Mm.
And he says, oh, I got a 04.
Yeah.
He's found a deal on 04 Expedition.
Yeah.
And I said to Sal, I was like, isn't that one of those years? You know? And then I decided to Google it, and it was 03 to 07. Like 08, they made the change.
Mm.
I think it was still a 5.4 engine, but they changed the spark plug design that would work with that engine. I don't know if they changed the head design, but the spark plugs, right, used to be these extraordinarily long plugs.
I was on like a two-piece spark plug.
Yeah, it really was. They called it like a two-part spark plug. But
right. Oh, I thought that was just because you end up breaking them trying to get them out.
They become two-part.
Well, and that's what happens. You try to get them out, and they break.
Right.
And now you can't... In other words, the head of the plug that you're putting the socket on, it breaks off.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the spark plug, the electrode, whatever, is still stuck in the cylinder head. And now you're really in trouble. And they're so damn tight the way they're designed that they kind of seize into the, you know, so some people say to spray WD-40 and stuff into the spark plug. Where the spark plugs are,
ahead of time, let it soak.
Yeah,
but if they break in there and you don't know how to get them out, or even sometimes the dealers have had so much trouble extracting the broken piece
with specific tools,
they've done head jobs for people. Yeah. They've had to remove the heads, and you're doing a valve job, you know, because you needed a tune-up.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? I've heard a lot of nightmares about the F-150s.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That vintage, William's girlfriend has one, and he has, you know, done tune-ups on it before, and it's like I look at a situation like that, like, aren't they, the spark plugs supposed to last the life of the engine?
Yeah. Well, you know, the motors were still pretty good motors overall, so, you know, people were pushing it, and they were saying, you know, I'm not going to bother changing the plugs until this thing just doesn't go anymore. And they might even have made it to 140,000, 150,000 miles, and then they just yanked the motor and put another motor. They didn't want to know anything about it.
Mm.
And my brother-in-law did that, too, with his F-150. But, I just advise my son to stay away from, you know, those engines for those years. So I think it was from 03 to 07, you know, through 07, 08. They came out with a better design. But, you know, I think they even had those 5.4s and the Mustangs.
Yeah, they did.
You know, just about every Ford. I mean, they were putting out other engines through that time. I don't know what size, but it's the 5.4s that you had to stay away from.
So the 4.6 engine would be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be fine.
Right.
But, not the 5.4 in those certain years. Yeah, 03, 04, to maybe 07, right? So that's the problem. That's why.
And the 5.0 the Ford was putting in, even the F-150s, and those are great engines, so you don't have any trouble there.
Well, those are very popular in the Mustangs, too.
Oh, yeah.
I would tell you that even if we possessed the equipment or tools to extract these spark plugs, assuming they would break inside the head like that, we still probably wouldn't want to do it for somebody because it could get so involved and so expensive.
Right.
Now, I would say if it was a truck that, you know, or a 5.4 engine that no matter what it was in, if you were regularly doing tune-ups and you knew that it wasn't like, you know, five-year-old spark plugs in there, it might not be as bad.
Right. No, it wouldn't.
And certainly somebody that would have changed them would have certainly used some anti-seize kind of stuff on the plug threads, you know, so that they would actually come out when you're trying to turn them out. So, yeah, I suppose that wouldn't be so bad.
I mean, if for you listeners out there, if you've got that 5.4 Ford motor, 03 to 07 through 07 to 03 to 08, you know, I would advise you to change the plugs if your mileage is low enough. You have 60, 70,000 miles on something.
Right.
Have those plugs like lubricated for a day or two ahead of time and then change them, because you don't want to go too long with those plugs in that vehicle.
I
they're
think the longer
never going to come out.
Right.
But if you already hit 100,000 miles and you never did it, I don't know if you should bother or just keep on going. Just keep on driving.
Just go right to the dealer.
You know. But you wonder, you know, sometimes at the dealers how hard they really try. Or they tell you, oh, you can't do it. You got to pull the heads, you know. You got to change the motor. You know what I mean? So the idea for this gentleman who emailed us is that you have to find a qualified shop that knows what they're doing with those particular plugs.
Has the extracting tools.
Right.
Yep.
And you do yourself a favor by calling the attention to it. Make sure the owner of the shop is well aware of what he's dealing with. Not that he just says, oh, yeah, we could tune that, you know.
And he puts, you know, somebody on it who breaks the first plug off.
Exactly.
Doesn't know what, you know, he's like so surprised. And all of a sudden he got a problem.
So, that's it.
Very good. So, one more time with some contact info.
All right.
Our phone number is 732-428-4482. Our email is thetwincams@comcast.net. And please like us on Facebook. And on that note, Bill.
Yes.
I do have a question here. What do you think would happen if somebody didn't know the meaning of the word Armageddon?
I don't know. What would happen if they
didn't? Well, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean,
you know, I was
Frank
wondering,
getting...
how come Sal always asks you these questions?
Because you're not interested.
You don't seem to show the same enthusiasm.
He doesn't say, Frank, I got a question for you, you know.
Right. It wouldn't be the end of the world.
It wouldn't be the end of the world.
Well, I'm glad we ended on a high note, so.
Yeah, I know.
Very good. Well,
thank you, folks, for listening to another exciting, informative Riptide Rollers Automotive Radio show.
Indeed. We're glad to have you join us.
Thank you very, very much.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye now.
Bye now.
You've been listening to WBNJ's Riptide Rollers Automotive Show with Twin Cams Intake and Exhaust. If you have a question or a comment for the Twin Cams, visit their website, RiptideRollers.com. Riptide Rollers is hosted and produced by Sal and Frank Santola. Executive producer for WBNJ is Bill Clanton Jr. I'm your announcer, Trip Rogers. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for Riptide Rollers, on air at 91.9 WBNJ and online, WBNJ.org.
The preceding program was meant for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the host and callers are not necessarily that of the staff and management of WBNJ or WWN Educational Radio Corporation. Consult your mechanic before trying any advice given by the Twin Cams, Sal and Frank Santola on Riptide Rollers.